Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Page 815. I have to do that over in New Guinea to show the people they don't know all the books of the Bible, and so sometimes I have to give the page number. Why are we down here? Why did you come to church tonight? Why do I go over to New Guinea and walk those trails and beat my head against the ground, it seems like, sometimes? Why do we do the things we do? Well, it says so right here in Isaiah chapter 43. Now, this is God the Father talking to Israel, the nation of Israel, but it will fit the Christian here. In verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." If you're a child of God, if you're saved and born again, you've been redeemed. Redemption means to buy back lost property, and you and I were certainly lost before God found us. So, "I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." We carry the word Christian. You say we're Christians. The root word of Christian is Christ. So he's called us by thy name. And then he says, "Thou art mine." And that's a blessing. Brother, I was an old dope smoker, an old whoremonger when God found me when I was 28 years old. And I wasn't looking for God. I mean, I was out there partying and having a good time, shacking up and everything with my wife now, but she wasn't my wife at the time. But I wasn't looking for God, and God came looking for me. And that's a blessing. And that Almighty God, that everlasting Father, the Creator, he says, "Thou art mine. I'm God's son." That's a blessing. Now, here's a promise. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight." Good night. If you ever get a hold of that, brother, who in the world are us? The Bible says the nations are a drop of a bucket, you know, and here we are in Eden, New York, you know, and if the country America is a drop in a bucket, what are we, you know? And God says we're precious in his sight. "Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee." Jeremiah says, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love." It won't run out. "Therefore will I give men for thee, for people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee." That's a blessing. "I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." Now this is the millennials, end of the tribulation. God's going to gather all the Israel back from the four corners. He gathered them from Assyria. He gathered them from Babylon. But this is the second coming context here. "Fear not, I'm with thee. I'll gather thee from the west and say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth." Look at verse 7. "And everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Let's pray. Father, it's good to be saved. It's good to be in the house of God. Lord, thank you for the local church, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for being so good to us, Lord God. We just deserve to be in hell with our back broken. And God, Lord, when we were unlovable, you loved us. And it's a blessing, Lord, to be in the family of God. Lord, I pray, God, now you wash us in the blood. Fill us, Lord. Anoint us for the work that you have us to do. God, please let me be a help to this church tonight. Lord, somebody might be going through the river, might be going through the fire, might be discouraged, ready to throw in the towel. I pray, God, tonight something might be said to help them just keep on keeping on. God, please, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes, Lord, and show them their position with a holy, righteous God. Lord God, please convict them of their sins and save their soul from dying and going to hell. Lord, please, Lord, honor yourself, Lord. Glorify your name tonight, Lord. And at the end of the service, Lord, we'll say how good it's been to be in church tonight. Lord God, thank you, Lord. I love you. I appreciate you. Lord, now please use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I've read this Bible through. I'm on my 96th run through the Bible. I try to read my Bible 30 chapters a day. Over in New Guinea, I go for 40. Sometimes, you know, but I got to get up wee hours in the morning and drive 11 hours. I don't get it done, but I try to. But every time I read this Bible through, I'm finding more and more verses concerning this subject that I'm going to talk on tonight, that we are created to give God glory. It's all through here. I'll just read a couple of verses in Exodus chapter 7, verse 17. It says that when Israel was still down there in Egypt, He says, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord thy God. Verse 22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. Then those swarms of flies shall be there to the end. Thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. When Joshua goes into the promised ground, he goes and spies out Jericho and Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. As soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. It's just over and over and over throughout this Bible where God is a jealous God. One of the Ten Commandments says, I'll have no other gods before me, and you should not worship anything, graven image or anything like that. He's a jealous God. Brother, more and more verses are jumping off this page as I read through this Bible about God. That we're supposed to be worshiping God. Now, when we get raptured in our glorified body and we get up there to heaven, it's just going to be the natural thing in our glorified body to go into the throne room where the 420 elders are and the 10,000 times 10,000 angels are, and to just go in there in the throne room and worship God in spirit. Amen. But God wants us to do that right now. I mean, right now, tonight, in this flesh, amen. He wants us to do that tonight after you go home in your home. He wants you to do it down there at the job site, in your school there on Tuesday morning. Brother, God wants you to worship him down there at the mall. We are created to give God glory. That's what it's all about, brother. We're not saved just to be put on the shelf, you know, and sit here on a log, you know, and wait for the rapture. God is using people. He told Cornelius, go find Peter. He'll tell you what to do. He told the Ethiopian, he told Philip to go out to the desert, you know, leave that revival. And God's using people today. Brother, what we're trying to do is to show this lost and dying world that our God's better than your God. That's what it's all about over there in Papua New Guinea. I told you about Josephine bowing down and worshiping that little plastic statue of Mary. She found the living God. She found out that that God was nothing. She'd been praying to him, bowing her knee. It was nothing. She found the living God, the Almighty God. And that's what we're trying to do. We're showing these people that our God is better than your God. Our God is better than your religion. Our God is better than your denomination or your church. Brother, you need my God. That's what it's all about. It's for his name's sake. God says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's right now, living in this age of grace, in this old body from Adam. God says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That encompasses quite a bit. In Revelation chapter 4, he says that God, we are created to give God pleasure. Our lives should be such that would bring a smile to our Savior's face. What keeps me from evil, what keeps me in line, is when I think of God up there in the throne room, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And the devil, as the accuser of the brethren, is up there in his face accusing God of what's going on down here with his church down there. That, brother, that just boils my skin. And what's in me, I don't know, it's that old rebel nature or whatever from Alabama. Brother, what's in me is what I want to suck up my guts and try to live for God in a way that it would shut that stinking devil's mouth up and that it would bring a smile to our Savior's face. That ought to motivate you, brother. You know, it ought to be a shame for you to bring shame to our Lord and Savior's face up there in the throne room. This is all about honoring God. God says in Colossians that he might have the preeminence. We're in this business down here to bring honor and glory and pigeon. We saw a big name. We would elevate his name above all other names. His honor is at stake. He only is God. And people for 6,000 years have been worshiping the God with gods of gold and silver, entertainment, amen, eating good. Night, every corner in America's got a restaurant. You know, America, the God of their belly is their belly, is their God. You know, there's eating establishments everywhere. This is not about eating. It's not about eating and drinking and being married. It's about worshiping, glorifying God. glorifying God. It's not about the MBA, the NCAA. I preached this message a couple of weeks ago, and when I get to preaching, I get to rolling, you know. And I said, it ain't about the NAACP, you know, like that. And everybody started cracking up, and I realized what it was. But it's not about the NAACP. It's about Jesus Christ, brother. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about your portfolio. It's not about making money, getting ahead. It's about worshiping God, brother. Worshiping God all through this Bible. In 2 Chronicles it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward God. You remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 18? Elijah, he goes up to Mount Carmel and 850 prophets of Baal and prophets of the gold of groves are there. And Elijah said, listen, fellas, how long halt you between two opinions? If God is God, then let's get in this thing and worship God. If Baal is God, then let's get in this thing and worship Baal. How long halt you between two opinions? He says, since you guys got 850 of you and I'm the only one down here, you fellas go first. And from morning till lunchtime, they're falling on the altar, cutting themselves, penance work, and saying, old Baal hears, old Baal hears, but you know, he's a false god. He's not going to hear them and everything. And the Bible says about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah repairs the altar and he gets 12 barrels of water. Now, it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, so he's putting his neck in the noose. He's putting the Lord's neck in the noose if the Lord doesn't come through and answer that prayer. And he pours that water. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years, so it's priceless, like gold. He pours that water on that altar, and he prays a simple prayer, and the fire falls down and consumes the altar and the sacrifice, and the people say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. This is all about lifting up in God. Brother, lift him up. That's a pigeon word. This is all about lifting up God in our lives. In 1 Kings chapter 20, it talks about the kings of Assyria came to pounce on Israel and Samaria, and they brought 32 armies, 32 kings. I assume there was 32 armies with the kings. And Israel went out with 7,000 soldiers and 232 princes there, and Israel whipped them. I mean, he whipped them. I mean, 32 armies, you know, and this little old flock of army, you know, the little baby army here of Israel, and they whip them, you know. And Syria, you know, goes back to Syria, you know, the tail between the legs, you know, and licking their wounds, you know, and they go back and say, listen, let's get rid of these kings, these old politicians, you know, and let's get some real warriors, you know, that know how to fight instead of sitting in the pavilion drinking themselves drunk, you know. And so they said, their God is the God of the hills. But he said, we'll replace these kings with some warriors, and we'll come back next year, and we'll fight Israel in the valleys, because, and we'll whoop them in the valley, because their God's the God of the hills. Brother, I believe the Lord's got a sense of humor. I believe the Lord's up there in heaven, and he's listening to all this going on, you know. So, I'm the God of the hill, huh? All right, just pack a lunch and bring a friend. I'll show you, you know. And about next year, you know, they come back, you know, and they get whipped again. And the people say, their God, their Lord is the God of the hills and he's the God of the valleys. This is all about worshiping God. When Nebuchadnezzar threw those three boys into that fiery furnace, he said, and who is this God that's able to deliver out of my hands? Here am I. I am. The Lord said that, you know. And these boys, they go in the fiery furnace. You know the story. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in that fiery furnace, and he says, Lord, I thought we threw three in there, and I see four, and the fourth one walking around is like the Son of God. I mean, brother, God is doing, he'll put us through trials, he'll put us in troubles so that he can get big name for it. He can get big name for it. Daniel, Darius, these princes, they get up this old false law and say, all of us princes have agreed, they didn't ask Daniel about this, that we're going to make this law that nobody can worship anybody but you for 30 days. Well, you know, Daniel, he opens his window toward Jerusalem and prays three times a day. They're hiding underneath the window, and so they run back and tell King Darius, you know, that Daniel broke the law. And so they throw him in the lion's den. And old Darius, you know, is wringing his hands all night, you know, worrying about his friend Daniel, you know. And early morning, King, he goes down and says, oh, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee? And I believe Daniel didn't say anything at first, you know, to build up the suspense a little bit, you know. And then he said, oh, King, live forever. It's God, brother, God, God is actively involved in our lives so that we can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. This is what it's all about. We're trying to show these people that our God is better than their God. when I follow, when I submit, when I obey God, when I do what he tells me to do, that brings honor to God. It's just like your children, moms and dads, you've got children, when your child is rebellious and disobeys you, that doesn't bring honor to mom and dad. But when that child is submissive and obedient, that honors mom and dad. It's the same way in our Christian life. When we obey and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, that honors him, that glorifies him. When I allow him to guide me and point the way, the Bible says, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. When I allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide me, Solomon said, Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I mean, who's able to deliver these great, to lead this great people of Israel? He said, I need your help. That honors God. I mean, a lot of times Christians have just put God on the shelf and say, Lord, you just sit there and I'll handle this one here. And when I need you, I will call you, Lord. God's not a bellhop. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He wants to be actively involved in our lives and make the decision. Let him make the decision. When I step in my car, when I sit down in my car, I ask God, Lord God, protect me on the road. When I get to where I'm going, I say, God, thank you for helping me get to where I go. When I pass out a track, I passed out some track. I went over to Paul Meyer and I gave the people at the toll booth. When I give a track, when I leave that person, I say, God, please let that person read that track. God, please convict them. Say that soul today, please God. I mean, just pray. I'm leaning on God. I'm depending on God. He's supposed to be the Lord. Amen. He's supposed to be the Lord. All right, Psalm chapter 23. Let's look at three or four of these. And you fellows can go out to the bonfire. Psalm chapter 23. He says in verse 3, my favorite verse is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When Almighty God is your shepherd, you ain't got any wants. Amen. He says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is all about giving God big name. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Brother, we don't do good works to get saved or to stay saved. We do good works because we are saved. Amen. We're supposed to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And verse 18, we never quote verse 18. He says, and all things are of God. It's God, brother. I mean, my religion didn't do anything to me. Some of y'all might have been a Catholic all your life before you got saved, and you went to confessional, you went to communion, you prayed and you did penance work and you were faithful with the sacraments. It didn't change you. It didn't help you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can change you. I mean, I was an old dope smoker, an old whoremonger before I got saved. When I was growing up in high school, I went to the Methodist church. I thought all churches were the same, you know. And that church didn't help me. My good works didn't change me. I mean, how many times have we turned over a New Year's resolution only to break it by the 2nd of January, you know? I mean, you need God. You need the Holy Spirit of God to change you. I mean, once I was an old caterpillar, brother, crawling around, sucking up the dirt of this ground. But one day I went into that cocoon and built that little door, and about 2 months later, I kicked that door open, and I came out a butterfly. I mean, I don't look like a caterpillar. I don't walk like a caterpillar. I don't run with the other caterpillars. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's not to be a Pharisee. It's not to be, be proud and puffed up like a Pharisee or something. You know, wave my tail feathers, you know, like old peacock religion. I'm doing it because God changed my life. It's God in me that's doing it. I want to bring a smile to my Savior's face. I'm not doing good works to get saved or to stay saved. I'm doing it because I want to please my Lord. And that's what you're going to have to do. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I come home every 4 years to furlough. And I don't go to new church. Once in a while I go to a new church or something. If a pastor's sitting in the auditorium and he gives me his car and wants me to come, I've done that one time this furlough. But basically I just run around and preach in my supporting churches. And so these are churches that are sort of supporting missionaries, the Bible-believing Baptist churches there. And every time I come home, brother, I'm finding more and more of our churches getting farther and farther to the left. The contemporary music is coming in. The world is coming in. Christians, we've forgotten that the world is our enemy. It's an enemy. It's not your friend. God says, love not the world, neither the things in this world. I mean, we preach against the devil. We preach against the flesh all the time. But this stinking world is your enemy. And I'm telling you, it's easy to backslide in America. I've been home for about 6-7 months, and I'm telling you, buddy, I mean, it is easy to backslide. There's so many distractions and so many things and so many, well, whatever, you know, to do and to go and to see and to think. I mean, this mind is consumed about do and get. God, brother, the blessings of God can be a curse sometimes. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said, Moses, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Pharaoh was a one-world ruler at that time. And Moses was the adopted son-in-law to his daughter. And Moses could have walked into the throne room and said, Dad, I need $1 million. Here you go, son. I mean, he turned his back on the treasures of Egypt. He said, I would rather go out here to this old bush place and walk around with these old bunch of slaves out here. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose rather to fellowship and to run with the people of Israel. Brother, I'm telling you, I'm 55 years old, been saved 28 years. I ain't just come in on a load of pumpkins here. I know a little bit, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to choose and refuse some things in this world, in this life, if you're going to run a successful life. If you're going to run a successful race and fight a good fight, you are not going to be able to compromise and marry up with the world and expect to glorify God. You're going to have to choose some things. You're going to have to refuse some things. God says over there in Psalm 12, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Jude said, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. John says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Brother, you're either serving the devil or you're serving God. That's all it is to it. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to refuse some things in this life if you're going to fight a good fight. I refuse to wear certain articles of clothing. I refuse to watch certain things on television. I refuse to read. I love to read. That's my hobby, is reading. And from 1800 to 1900, you know, the cowboys and Indians and the wagon trains and the gold rush, that's my favorite American history time, that 100 years and all. And World War, any kind of war autobiography or biography or something. But every time I pick up a book, you know, this general cuts loose, you know, with taking God's name in vain. I refuse to read a book that takes my Lord's name in vain. I just made a vow to God. I ain't reading. I ain't watching that filth. I ain't going to do that. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to refuse. My daughter, Jessica, they went out there to Oklahoma, and she had no intentions of getting married out there in Oklahoma. She said, Daddy, I'm going to stay focused on, I mean, they're busy from sunup to sundown out there. And she said, Daddy, I ain't got time to get involved, and I'm just going to stay focused on my studies and worry about it after I get, done with college and everything. Well, BJ come along, you know, and the friendship developed into a courtship and now an engagement and now a marriage and all. But when they started their friendship, they made a covenant with God. And they said, 1 Corinthians 7:1, it said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And it's good for a woman not to touch a man before marriage, outside of marriage. And they just made a covenant. And out there they have the Valentine banquet and the Christmas banquet, you know, the formal, where the man, you know, escorts the lady in and all. And they said, we ain't touching. We just ain't going to touch. And they said, you got to escort her in. And BJ said, we're going to obey God. And they had a couple of students out there said, when I start my courtship, I want to do it like y'all did. And one of the faculty, I mean, they said, what if she falls down? I said, well, we just trust God. I said, put a couple of angels beside her where she don't fall down. What if she falls down at Walmart? She'll give up. Amen. But she said, ain't touching. And it was a blessing, brother. It was a blessing of God. My daughter, I'm the only one that ever kissed my daughter in 25 years. And I walked her down there, and that man and her, they have never even held hands. They had a 12-inch space of rule out there in Oklahoma. I mean, they sat on opposite sides of the tables in the cafeteria. You know, ain't none of this rubbing footsies under the table or something. They didn't touch. The whole time they went from a courtship into an engagement to a wedding. And it was a blessing, brother. After they gave their vows, BJ took my daughter's hand for the first time before God and made that vow. Oh, my, I've got chill bumps talking about it. And that first kiss, brother, that they had, brother, that was a holy wedding. Amen. You ain't got to marry up with the world, brother. You ain't got to do as the Romans do, brother. You can obey God and honor God in this life if you want to. Amen. Just be a caterpillar. I mean, be a butterfly, bless God. Psalm 79. Psalm 79. Usually that point goes over like a lead balloon, so we'll get on to another one. Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 9, it says, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for your name's sake, for thy name's sake." Do you realize that God saved us for his name's sake? He didn't save us because we were somebody. Amen? God saved us for his glory. I mean, when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, "You see that fool? That fool broke every commandment in that Bible. I mean, he disobeyed. He ran wild. He tried to commit suicide. That fool couldn't even kill himself. He tried to commit suicide. Wasn't even successful in foot suicide. I mean, that fool, he cursed me, denied me." Brother, I remember growing up, I'd shake my fist at God and say, "You want to kill me, just go ahead." Cocky, arrogant. I mean, God could have killed me and would have been righteous about sending me to hell. But God, brother, God saved me for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Let me read a verse over there in Genesis chapter 11. It says, in Genesis chapter 11, it says, the Tower of Babel lying there, they said, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name." This ain't about Art Cole. This ain't about Bible Baptist Church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You got people today building these mega churches. They're building a tower. They're just building. Look what we got. What have you got? I mean, we're running 500. I had an article that says, from a pastor, it said, if you're not running 500 in your church, you ought to take your denomination sign off your name, off your signboard. I got me a message. I love to preach it. Why I'm an independent Baptist and proud of it. I go all over this country and you can't find a denomination sign on a billboard anymore. It's all this, you know, fellowship, brethren, grace, judging, you know, all this stuff. And you go, well, if you don't have any doctrine, you can just believe any old thing. You can do any old thing. And we just come on in and, you know, sing with a bouncing ball and, you know, and just praise Jesus, you know. I'm telling you, it's another Jesus. It ain't the Jesus that I know, Lord. Brother, it's another Lord. It's another Spirit. It's another Jesus. God saved us for his name's sake. Oh, Cain, he went down there and said, "Lord, you see this vegetable that I grew? This is my garden. I dug those roots up. I went to the hardware store. I bought the fungus medicine. I sprayed my potato plants twice a week. Lord, look what I've done." And God said, "I ain't interested in what you did." And Abel just believed what the mom and papa said about the blood and gave it all, and God had respect to the offering of Abel. Brother, God, it's not our works of righteousness which we have done according to his mercy. He said, if you're lost in here, if you're trusting something other than the blood of Jesus Christ, you're lost, you're undone, you're dead in your trespass and sin, and if you die tonight, you're going to bust hell wide open. Amen. And God said on the cross, "It is finished. All the work that needs to save your soul has been done. All you got to do is believe it." You weren't there. You didn't see God die on that cross for your sins. That was in 33 AD. But the Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the record book. You put your faith in this book and God will save your soul. And you don't deserve it. It's just by God's amazing grace. It's just God's grace and mercy. He saved us and adopts us into the family of God. In Psalm 143, Psalm 143, verse 11, "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Now, this one we don't like. We like it when everything's hunky-dory. We like it when, you know, we got money in our pocket and all our bills are paid and nobody's sick in the family. But God said, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." Brother, God will put us through trials and troubles and tribulations, not because he's one of those kind of gods that like to squish you like a bug under his foot. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. Brother, God loves, but he will allow Satan to buffet us. He will allow tribulations and trials to come into our life, not so he can sit up there in heaven and say, "Look at that boy, what I done." God puts us through the fire so that he can deliver us from that trouble, so that we can look back at God and say, "To God be the glory." That's what it's all about. I don't know, I probably gave this story before, but my first term, when I was over there the first term, I got a little 8mm projector and a film called The Life of Christ, and we went into a Catholic village. We had a little Baptist church, had about 10, 15 people in that church, and a big Catholic village, and the Catholic church charges money to see a movie, and so we were going to show it free, and we got a little Honda generator and went over there to that village 2 hours out in the bush, and we just put a white sheet on the outside of our little grass hut church there. Spirit, and we invited all those lost Catholics, come on and see a free movie. Well, the Catholic pastor didn't want his people seeing that movie because it gives the life of Christ and Calvary and crucifixion and invitation. His people get saved and leave the church, and you know, the offerings would go down. And so he took the blunt side of his axe and started beating on my generator. Like a dummy, like I was, you know, I said, hey, what are you doing? That's my generator. And he took the sharp side of that axe and swung it right at my head. And he just went like that. And that blade, I went like this, and that blade went right over my head. It went like that. And he said, white man, if you ever come back into this village, I'll plant this in the back of your neck. Now, I'm 2 hours out in the bush from the safety of my mission station. It's dark o'clock. 5 hours from the local police station, they won't even come back there because the road's too muddy. And the people say, what are you going to do, white man? Call the police? They won't come back. There's no deterrent of crime. And so it's just me, the Lone Ranger, and God back there in that bush. And I'm telling you, the fight got on. I had about 8 or 10 Bible students and those few Christians in the church. They jumped in front of me. And, well, there are 200 people jumped in front of that pastor. And the fight was on. I mean, they're cutting each other with knives and machetes and axes. They're taking rocks and ramming them in people's teeth and breaking teeth. It's a bloody gang fight. And my Bible student said, Dick, this is serious. I said, yeah, really? And he said, run for your life. And so we dropped the generator, and my Bible said, bless the little pumpkin head. They took off and left me. I mean, it's dark. I can't see. Like 2,400 about these guys. And at nighttime, you know, I'm like this with the, you know, Coleman ladder. And they ran off and left me. And so I run up through this house line, and the fight's down here at this end, and the Catholic Church and the path that goes back to my mission station this way. And I get up here to the end of the house line, and I look back, and here they come. They're coming after me. I'm the fool that started the fight. I brought the movie into the village. I'm the instigator. They're going to cut me up. Brother, they'll cut you up into pieces and put your body parts in a stock feed bag and throw you in the river or throw you down a tall outhouse. And that's it. That's it. Nobody knows nothing of it. Nobody's going to tell where you are. And I knew. I knew my number was up. And so I started to run, you know, like the brave missionary. You know, I took off. And I got, honestly, I got about 20 yards down that path. It goes up, and then it goes down in the valley, and 2 hours that away is the submission. And I stopped there in the middle of the path. I said, God, I can't outrun these guys. I mean, you know, they're Magilla gorillas. You know, I said, they're going to catch me by the time I get down the bottom of this hill. And honestly, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I told God, I said, get my wife and children out of here. I'll see you in a few minutes. And I'm serious. I knew I was fixing to die. And what can I do? I'm out there in the middle of the bush, 12,000 miles away from there. I can't fight 200 guys with axes and bush knives. And so I'm waiting to be martyred. And so I couldn't see them, but I could hear them. They're coming up, rah, coming up. And then they get up right to where they're going to come down over the lip of that little hill to get me. And all of a sudden they stop, and they turn around and walk back. And they've already blooded themselves, brother. There ain't nothing in this world, no deterrent to stop them, brother. They're in a frenzy. And the only thing that stopped them was my God. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. That verse gotten just for David in the Old Testament. This fool, it's been tried and proven by this fool in 1990, probably in the beginning. God delivered me. And here's the illustration. God delivers us out of trouble for his name's sake. For 2 hours, I was by myself, Bible student son left me, and for 2 hours, I walked back to that mission station like this. My God. What a God. What a Savior. I mean, just in awe. I hate that word, but that was what it is. It was awe. You know, it was. I mean, I was just speechless. God, brother, performed a miracle, an Old Testament miracle, and saved me from physical death. I get back to the missionary, the veteran missionary. I tell him the story, and he said, Sunday morning, you and I got to go back. I said, maybe you and your mama. I ain't going back there. You wasn't there. I know. I saw the devil in that guy's eyes. I ain't going back. He said, pack your bags and go home. I said, he said, every village back here is going to find out that village ran you out of Dodge, and every one of them is going to monkey see, monkey do, every one of them. You'll never get into another village back here. You might as well pack your bags and go back to America. Sunday morning, we kissed my wife and children bye again. And I mean, kissed them goodbye. And brother, that's the scariest thing I've done in my life. I was scared to death. And for 2 hours, we walked down that trail, bribing God. Well, God, you know, you called me over here. I'm your man, you know, trying to bribe God. I mean, anything that'll work, you know, I'm going to use anything, you know. I mean, anything, you know. And for 2 hours, we just praying, pleading the blood, asking God to have mercy on us. I mean, we're going to get chopped up and thrown in the river. And we got down to that little hill, and we got down on our knees in that mud and just cried out to God, what can we do? If you don't help, we're done. And we walked into that village, and brother, I'm telling you, it was like a pussycat walking through two pit bulls. I mean, the houses are here and houses and the paths right between. And those guys, I mean, they hated us. And they were sitting there in their houses like this in that door just looking at us walking down through that house line. And they said, kill him, cut him, kill him, break his glasses. And not one warrior come out of that house. One person come out of that house. Oh, they wanted to. In a doubt in my mind, they wanted to come out and cut us. And I was scared. I'm telling you, buddy, I mean, I'm walking through there looking at them like I'm scared to death. And we go up there to that little Baptist church and preach a little sermonette and sing two or three songs and quiver a little bit. But when we walk back down through that house line, we walk back a little bit taller. I'm telling you. My daughter's been held hostage in an armed robbery for 20 minutes. She was pure and holy when she got married last week. Those guys could have thrown her on the floor and raped her or taken her to a village and I'd have never seen her again. And God protected my daughter. She pegged the thermometer with malaria. That mercury touched the other end. I'm telling you, just time after time after time, God delivered us from evil. And you think I'm foolish enough to say, I've done it. Bless God. Arm of the flesh. Football, wrestling, track. I've done it. Brother, I ain't that foolish. It was God. It was God Almighty. Brother, let me read you a verse over here in Psalm. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Brother, I'm telling you, God is actively involved in your life, in your family lives, in your ministry. Brother, let God be God. Glorify God. Glorify God. You go to Ephesians 5. And I'll read one verse over in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In Ephesians it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Sometimes your pastor come up here, and sometimes this pastor will preach on standards or preach on sins or preach on the flesh or something like that. And you know how you and I are. You know, you swell up like an old blowfish, you know, and you say, oh, I ain't going to take. And you go down the road to some contemporary watered-down church. Brother, you ought to hug that man's neck. You ought to come up and hug that preacher's neck for being honest with you and preaching on you. This is what's going to happen. The Bible says we're all going to appear before God at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done in this body right now while we're living down here on this ground, whether it be good or bad. The Lord's at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be seated on the throne, and we, one by one, will stand up and give an account of what we've done down here on this earth since you've been saved. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will say, Pastor Art Cole, stand up! It's his day in court. And then he's going to say, Faith Bible Baptist Church, stand up. And y'all are going to stand up. And this pastor is going to present this church back to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this is what you did down here in Eden, New York. Lord, I hope God, Lord, this church is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Lord, look what you did down there in Eden, New York. Now, what if this church is full of jealousy and envy and backbiting and all this old junk and everything that's fit? And God, he hands this church back to the Lord and says, Lord, this is the best you could do down here in Eden, New York. That's not going to glorify God. So that's why your preacher preaches on sin. That's why he jumps on you and jumps on your cane and gets in your face. And I'm talking to you, monkey. I mean, you ought to hug his neck. Amen. I told my pastor, I said, I'm backslid as a devil. I come home to America and I backslide. I said, preacher, preach the devil out of me. I need it. And you need it. Amen. My pastor gets up here and says, God is love. And he loves all his little children. You need the devil, preacher, because we like that sin. We loving that old sin. Amen. And we need somebody to shake our tree and get us back focused on why we're down here. We're down here to glorify God. So God, one day he wants to present this church back to him, to the Lord, as a glorious church to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. The last one is 2 John chapter 2 John or 3 John, 3 John verse 7. 3 John verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth. And then in Revelation 2, 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. There's going to be times, brother, when you're going to be hiding in a cave like Elijah, and you're not going to hear the voice of God. There's going to be times like in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that you're going to be taken in an evil net. You're going to be caught in a snare. You're going to be snared in an evil time when it falleth upon thee, suddenly upon you. Brother, the trick to Christianity is just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Hudson Taylor said, I can plod. And that's all Christianity is, brother. Christianity is mountains and valleys. I preach a message on mountains and valleys, and that's all Christianity is. We like it up here on camp meeting time on top of the mountain, everybody shouting it out. But on the other side of that mountain, brother, you've got to go down into another valley. But the blessing is, the text that we read, for I'm with thee, when thou passest through the waters, the fire will not burn thee. God says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for thou art with me. Brother, God will go through that trial. This last term was probably the worst time, the hardest term we've ever had on New Guinea. We had internal problems. Our church people turned on us. We had a fellow in our church that wanted to split the church so that he could tear down the church building and build himself a house with the materials. He had no concept of God, the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and he just would stand outside and start a fight 10 minutes before Sunday school. The church voted him out. He picked up a tree limb and swung it at me and threatened my life. He'd stand outside my house and cuss me. We had a crippled lady that we gave some money to, and her line didn't, some of her brothers didn't get the money, and so they accused me to the police and reported me to the fraud squad. I was in court probably a half a dozen times for stealing a little national woman's money. I didn't steal that money. And, but they reported me to the fraud squad. You know, great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have what they call head pay over in Papua New Guinea, where once in a generation, the oldest son has to throw a party for mom and dad and say, thanks for raising us. Well, 3/4 of our church members go to this, or live in this village. And so before they try to start a disco back there, and we got a court restraining order saying you can't bring that kind of music back there. We don't want to listen to that kind of music. And I had a court order restraining them from that disco music. Well, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, boom, 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 boom. I mean, rattling the windows, you know, And so when at 5 o'clock in the morning, when I could see the trail, you know, enough to walk up to that village, I walked up there, and 3/4 of our church members were up there staggering down dead drunk. I mean, just falling down drunk. I mean, it broke our heart. I'm telling you, I mean, you know, you bend the stick and bend it, and sometimes it breaks. And I'm telling you, I didn't send a prayer letter out to y'all, but I sent it to my pastor. And it basically said, I'm sorry, thank you for my support, I can't take it no more, I'm coming home. And we quit. I mean, in my heart, in my mouth. I mean, I said, God, I can't take it no more. I mean, I would toss and turn in the middle of the night. I'd go out there and lay out there in the grass in my yard and look up at God and go, God, I can't take it no more. I was just crying out. This was May, June, July, August, September. I sent my pastor that letter, and I said, what do you think before I send it to all my support? He said, don't send it. Come home immediately. I said, I can't come home. If I come home, Michael's going to tear the church building down and you know, tear it down, split the church. And for May, June, July, August, September, I mean, we just went through hell by the acre. I mean, it was every day something was coming up, court or fraud squad. They had a private investigator after me. I mean, all kinds of junk. I mean, for the glory of God, amen. These are our church people doing that. And so God took us through that trial and took that local church through that trial. And we come out the other side. I believe I'm a better Christian for it now. I mean, all this stuff, all this glitter the world offers, it's just way out there, dark and gray and dim. It don't matter no more. I've just lost my attraction for everything in this old stinking world. I just want to go home, heaven. But that church went through that trial with us, and it's probably the best church out there that we've had in the 16 years that we've been out there. That church went through that trial, and we look back, and say, it wasn't us. We were flat on our back. And look what God's done. And that's probably the most spiritual church that we've got over there. I want to encourage you. Some of you might be having financial problems. Some of you might be having marital problems. You might have a rebellious child that's giving you mom and dad fits, you know, mom and dad crying and tossing and turning. I'm just telling you, don't bail out. Don't throw in the towel. Just put one foot in front of the other. Just keep walking. You will get through that valley. It don't look like it. I'm telling you, brother, I quit on God over there. I thank God I didn't come home, because I know if I came home, I'd have never gone back. It's just the grace of God I'm still in the fight. But I'm telling you, brother, the devil hates your guts. He hates your family. He hates this ministry. He hates this church. He hates that family. And he's not going to send his little imps. He's going to send his Goliaths after you and give you hell by the acre. But the promise of God is God will go through that trial with you. And you'll come out on that other side, and you'll say, it ain't me. I was flat on my back. To God be the glory. And it'll strengthen you, brother. It'll help you. It'll help. Trials will help you. I want to encourage you. Don't quit. Don't faint. Just continue. They went forth for his name's sake. Just put one foot in front of the other. When I was in high school, I ran cross-country track. And when I would get back close to home, whatever I had left is called a kick. I would sprint whatever I had left. But every day, I tried to increase that kick. I would start my kick one telephone pole farther back. And I would start, you know, one pole back. Brother, I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know. I know somebody in this church has got problems. Everywhere I go, there's problems. A family that I led to the Lord in Ohio, their 30-year-old son hung himself in the garage. A lady over in Ohio asked me to pray for her son out there in drugs. I mean, we are living in a hellish time. And I'm telling you, just the grace of God, you and I are sitting in this church tonight. But I'm telling you, you need God. You need God. But don't faint. Don't bail out. God said, forgetting those things which are behind. You said, you don't know what he said about. Don't worry about what they said about you. It's just talk. Let that talk just run off the back and get up and live for God. Amen? I'm telling you, brother, God, it's almost quitting time. It ain't ready to bail out. It ain't ready to throw in the towel. Brother, what kept me in the fight is I thought about what's going on up there in that throne room. Job, he said, have thou considered my servant Job? The Lord is bragging on his son down there, saying, have you considered my servant? He ain't going to quit on me. He's not going to fail me. And the devil said, yeah, he'll quit on you. He'll quit on you. He'll deny you. He'll shame you. And God said, no, no, no. He said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Brother, what if God's up there tonight bragging on you? The devil's up there saying, he'll quit on you. He'll deny you. He'll shame you up there. Brother, that goes through my mind all the time. And by the grace of God, me and my family, we're going to serve God till the cows come home so that we can glorify God and shut the devil's back. Over there in New Guinea, I'm finishing up. Over there in New Guinea, we went a five-hour walk, had to go down into this river gorge, cross a rope bridge, had two strands of vine like this and a strand here and a strand. And, you know, this thing's doing this number. And there's rapids under this river, and it's from here to the parking lot. It's a big old wide river. And I'm telling you, and it rains every day, so the vines get wet and they dry out. They get wet and dry. You're about halfway over there, and you hear, bing, you know, one of the supporting vines break, you know, and you're like this, you know, like this, and then you crawl up out of that gorge. It's 70 degrees if it's a degree, and you got to pull up with your hands and legs like this, you know, and it's 2 hours up out of that gorge, and then it's another 2 hours over to that village. And we went over there and started this village, started a church over there, and we did this thing Democrat. I told the Bible student, you know, I'll go first, I'll lead the way, but next week you're going, we're going to take turns. I mean, that's a hard walk. And they said, let's do it. Let's do it for the glory of God. Amen. Well, they didn't go. And the church fizzled for the glory of God. Amen. I mean, it fizzled. Those people, they got discouraged. I mean, nobody come preach to them because the Bible students wouldn't come. And the Catholic priest came back there, and he stood up in that house line, and he said, I told you the Baptists wouldn't make it back here. That was in 1990. That priest stood up and said, I told you the Baptists wouldn't last. I told you the Catholic Church is the true church back here. Those Baptists, a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of fakes, they won't last back here. And that church fizzled for the glory of Satan. And that priest stood up and badmouthed my Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of the house line. And by the grace of God, he's going to have to kill me. I had knee surgery last furlough. When I walk bone against bone, my knee swells up. But by the grace of God, I'm going back in November. And it's not because I'm somebody. Don't look at me. Don't puff me up. And I'm telling you, you know, people think missionaries walk on water. I pour water on this carpet. I can walk on it. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I ain't nobody, brother. I am a nothing. God, I come out of 1 Corinthians 1, the weak, the base, the food. That's me, brother. Missionaries run circles around me. I'm not a good missionary, but I love my Lord. And by the grace of God, I want to glorify my Lord. And there's times when I fall. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but then he gets up. Amen. The trick is to rise again, brother, and get up and say, God, I blew it, But by your grace tomorrow, I'm going to go another football telephone pole for you and just get up and try it again. You say, well, we're all a bunch of hypocrites. Amen. Join the party. Amen. When we get to heaven, we ain't going to sin no more. But brother, just get up. The devil will knock every one of us down. But the devil hates it when this guy gets back up and says, hit me again. Bam. Knocks him down again. He gets up and says, hit me again. Just get up for your Lord. Amen. Endure a little hardness. Be a soldier. Don't do it to be a peacock and say, look at me. Don't wave your peacock feather. Do it for the glory of God. For God created us for His glory. Do it for the glory of God. And when we get to heaven, we get up there to heaven, we can't take that crown and say, it ain't my crown. God, it was you. This belongs to you. And like those 4 and 20, we're going to put that crown back down his leg and say, Lord, you done it. It wasn't me. It was just the grace of God. It was you. Get in this thing, brother. It's more to Christianity than just coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and winning. God wants to use you, men, women, and children in here. He wants to use you for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Don't do it to be somebody. Don't do it to get puffed up. Do it for God. You're going through a problem in your home. You're going through trouble. You got hell by the acre. I'm going to tell you, we are going to get hell by the acre, but just keep on plodding, and you will get through it. And when you get out on the other side of that valley, you can look at the Lord and say, Lord, look what you've done for the glory of God. Do it for God. Just keep walking for God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I appreciate you. I love you, Lord. I love this church, God. I appreciate him giving me the opportunity to preach this message. Lord, I pray that I encourage the body tonight. Lord, I don't know the situation here. Lord, it might be somebody in here that's going through troubles or trial. It might be ready to throw in the towel and quit on you. Lord God, help them to see the devil up there laughing in your face. Help them to see that priest standing in the middle of the house line saying, I told you he wouldn't last back here. God, help us to get a little grit in our claw. God, help us to suck up our guts. Not that we can be somebody and say, look at me, and build us ourselves a tower. But Lord God, we can do it for the glory of God. Help us, God, please, Lord. I pray for the young people in this church. Lord God, I can't imagine going to a public school system in this day and age. I can't imagine the peer pressure these young people have to go through, Lord, in this day and age. Lord God, the young men and women, Lord, down there in the workplace, God, please, deliver us from evil. Lord, do it for your name's sake. Please, Lord, strengthen this church. Build a hedge about this church, Lord. Help us to love you and live for your name's sake, Lord. We love you, appreciate you. God, thank you for this church. Lord, God, thank you for this message. In Jesus' name, amen.